Welcome to another episode of the Sports Mecca podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Abramo. As always, I'm joined by my partner, Sam Hengeli. Today, we have the opportunity to speak with professional basketball player and former Texas Tech Red Raider star, Todrick Gocher. Todrick, Sam and I appreciate the time this evening.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to speak and talk about everything. So thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You're one of a few former Big 12 basketball players that have come on. We've had a few actually from the Texas area. We had AJ Abrams. He played.
Oh, yeah.
Played a couple of years before you did in college. But we've had a couple of guys with the Texas connection. But we will start with this episode. You were recently competing for the Texas Tech alum team in the basketball tournament called the Air Raiders. You guys had obviously yourself, Matt Mooney, Tariq Owens, Kyler Edwards as former Red Raiders that were on the team. Just talk to us about how that experience went for you.
Man, that experience was special, honestly. It was the real first time that the Texas Tech brought a Texas Tech team to the TBT. And it was just great to see all Red Raiders in one gym and brought back all the fans, you know, coaches surrounding and just playing with different eras. So it was special just to be a part of it for sure.
Yeah, I am curious. How did you get plugged in with the former players, or did they like plug you in? Like, how did that end up forming?
Yeah, so the two guys that were over it, they were his name Clark Lambert and Andrew Sorrells. They were the GMs of the team, and they reached out and they said it's in Lubbock, Texas, in front of the USA, in front of the fans. So I couldn't give that up, and a chance of a lifetime, that was wonderful for sure.
You guys won, what, two rounds in that tournament?
Only one, man. We won one round, then we played against New Mexico, and they came out 16-0 on us and beat us at the end, but they came out on fire.
Yeah, what's your thoughts on the Elam ending? I know that's been implemented, and for a lot of people who don't watch the TBT, you know, it's a very unique experience to watch that.
Yeah, so for a simple fan, it's not a simple fan, but like for a fan, it's weird to watch because at the end of every game, I mean, you know, under 4 minutes, a lot of teams like to stall and slow the ball down. Well, the Elam ending makes you play, makes you compete, and makes the team that is down at the end of the game play harder. So it's hard to reach that target score. And I love how it's a game winner at every game. So it makes it entertaining for sure.
Did you ever, after like going through the Elam ending a couple times, did you ever like think to yourself, man, they should bring this to international basketball?
You know, that's been a thought, but, you know, in international basketball, they don't foul. Like once you get in one, there's no such thing as 1-1 or, you know, 10 fouls is 2 shots. So it's 5 fouls per quarter internationally. And so at the end of the game, you usually don't foul. If you're down 4 or 5 with 20 seconds, teams usually don't foul. They try to get a stop. So I wouldn't implement it there, but maybe college in some conferences I would for sure.
Right. Now you've been enjoying so far a 6-7 year overseas career. You've had the opportunity to play in France, Greece, Japan, and Romania. Talk to us about, you know, those opportunities and how, you know, those countries have treated you.
Man, I can't, it's really hard to explain the experiences that I've encountered overseas, you know, three years in Greece, which I live in Texas now. We don't have beaches. So it's like when I go overseas, everywhere is near a beach. So it's like a different, completely different lifestyle of, you know, the food, the people, the culture. So it's really special to encounter experiences. And my lifelong friends are internationally. So it's kind of pretty cool to think about.
So out of the countries that you've been in, what would you say has been your most favorite that you've had to experience so far?
I actually give you two. So Istanbul Turkey was by far my favorite. Just living, it's it was 20 million people in one city. So it's like, it's unbelievable. The traffic is bad, but everything else was wonderful. And Greece, 1 year I stayed on a beach on an island. So every day was, I'm on an island just to think about. So that was special for me. And that's top two for sure.
Right. Now you know, we'll get into it much more once we talk about your college career, but your final season in Lubbock was in 2016. You went undrafted from the 2016 NBA draft. You know, once you got undrafted, did you like initially plan to play internationally, or what really was that process and plan of you eventually playing, you know, outside the U.S.?
It was actually a difficult situation for me because while I was in college, I went to school for 5 years, so I received two master degrees. So my current wife now is like, all right, let's stay here at home. You find you a nice job and, you know, start there. But a guy internationally called me and said, do you want to keep playing? And I'm like, sure. I mean, so it was a no-brainer for me. And I mean, no matter the money, I just wanted to play. And now I've reached a level where it's good to play. So it was special. So I didn't have a clue what I was going to do, but after that one call was made, I made my decision. It was a no-brainer.
Yeah. Did you have a lot of knowledge of international basketball, like while you were still a college athlete or even a high school athlete?
I did not, man. I didn't know anything about any of the international players, anybody other than the NBA. I barely knew the guys in the NBA, but now that's all I watch. I don't even watch the NBA until playoffs or something like that. So international basketball is it's elite. I mean, it's real basketball. It's not, you know, showmanship. It's not highlights. It's real basketball. And I embrace it. And I show any kid in America a game internationally rather than an NBA game.
Yeah, that's interesting. What have been your, I guess, players that you've had to really compete against in the international play that maybe people maybe that have watched college or just a big basketball fan would know just by the name?
Yeah, so let me see. Who have I played in? I played a couple of guys that are actually in the NBA. I can't name them off the top of my head, but are former guys that played. And the thing about them that is different, they're just high IQ, fundamentally sound. They make open shots. There's obviously college and NBA is a lot more athletic. I mean, so dunks, you know, alley-oops over there. You see Luka and Jokic, they're so slow, but they know how to get to their spot and know how to make shots and just make the right play. So that's the beauty and the difference of it from USA to international.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we, again, dive into your Texas Tech career, I want to learn more about your path as a high school basketball player. When you were in Texas, you were ranked as a top 50 player in the state out of high school at Lakeview Centennial. We talked to us about how that Texas high school basketball was, the circuit, you know, back when you were playing, which was, you know, well over a decade ago.
Right, man. Texas basketball for me was, it was huge. I was in the top 5A at the time. It was very competitive. I went to the state finals 2 years in a row, lost to Marcus Smart my last year, which is a funny deal. But man, it's just a competition. Every guy, Julius Randle, like guys like that, you're just playing on a nightly basis. My AAU circuit, I didn't play in Texas much. I was always on the East Coast, Vegas, of course, but I was always in Florida, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia, you know, just trying to compete with anyone I can. And it was a fun time. And Texas basketball is, you see a lot of guys getting drafted this year from Texas. And it's really elite, in my opinion.
Yeah, I got a trivia question for you. Who were the number one and number two recruits out of the state of Texas in your high school recruiting class?
So I believe it was LeBron Nash. He went to Oklahoma State. Number two, if you give me the college, I can say it, but I don't remember who number two was.
Hook him.
Number two went to Texas. It wasn't Jonathan. No, I don't know who it was. Who was it?
Sheldon McClellan.
Sheldon, Houston, Texas. Yes, Sheldon was, yeah, he was my matchup in college. I don't know how I don't remember that. Yeah, Sheldon was elite. So, yeah, for sure. But LeBron Nash was number one, right?
Yep.
Okay, okay. Yep. It was a very competitive, for sure.
So you played against Sheldon McClellan often in high school?
Yes, I played him often in high school and obviously when he went to Texas.
Same thing with LeBron Nash?
So LeBron Nash is a friend of mine. He's from Dallas. I'm from Dallas. So we would call each other and invite each other to each other's high school to, you know, make the run very competitive. And obviously when you bring the number one player in, everyone shows up. So it was – summers were amazing.
Right. Now, obviously, you were a hometown product going to Texas Tech, and you grew up in Texas. Did you get a lot of high major attention when you were playing high school, or was it just a lot of local buzz and then you kind of really just wanted to stay home?
Yeah, so actually, as I said, I played on the East Coast, so most of the schools that were recruiting me were kind of from the East Coast, which is weird. But my top five out of high school was West Virginia, Baylor. My father went to Baylor. He played football, so everyone thought I was going there. Texas Tech, USC, and San Diego. And I chose to go to San Diego out of high school. But on the visit, my mother wouldn't allow me to actually go to California. So what could have been, I could have been a San Diego guy, but my mother wouldn't allow me. Instead, I had to stay in Texas at the time.
Were you recruited by either Pat Knight or Billy Gillespie?
So I was recruited by Pat Knight and Chris Beard. Chris Beard was my recruiting coach. So he was the guy responsible for me. And the year I left college, he comes back to Texas Tech. So it's crazy how it becomes full circle.
You know, I am curious again, give us, for a player like of your stature, like what is a communication process like from like recruits at a college and then high school athletes? Like how often are they at your games? How often are they communicating with you and the coaching staff?
Yeah. So mostly out of high school, usually your high school coaches has all the connections. They call them first, obviously because of grades and stuff. So everything went through my high school coach at first, then the summers. That's pretty much when my recruiting kind of exploded on the AAU circuit and where you can actually see the coaches right in front of you. I mean, I played in front of Coach K, Roy Williams, all those guys in North Carolina, and I was in shock myself. I was shaking before the game. So we played in front of, I believe, we counted 75 college coaches at one game at our game. I had Perry Jones on my team, so Perry Jones was a top five. He got drafted, you know, out of Dallas. So they came to see him, and I got recruited based off I played well while coaches were watching him. So that's kind of how I got recruited.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
So you went to Texas Tech. At the start of your career, Texas Tech basketball didn't have much stability. You had three coaches during your time. What was it like? What was the transition like? And did you ever consider transferring?
Yeah, so it was very unstable. I probably have the most teammates of anyone at Texas Tech, for sure, with all the transfers. But my father always told me, you committed to the university and not the coach. So I've always stuck it out. After the second coach, I was considering going to South Florida, which a lot of people don't know because I was very on my way there, but my father called me again, said the same thing, stay with the team, commit. So South Florida was the other school that I was considering.
Mm-hmm. So you got to play for a legend and coach Tubby Smith, who had a successful coaching career, including winning a national title in 98. What was it like playing for Coach Smith?
Man, Coach Smith was phenomenal. He was at the end of his career. Obviously, he's retired now. So he was more chill than he usually was before. But, I mean, he taught me everything, how to be a man, how to carry myself, how the world works pretty much. So it was special just to have him. I mean, he was just an amazing person, amazing coach. So I thank him and credit him for everything that's happened to me in my career.
One of the more memorable games was your redshirt sophomore year against Oklahoma State, where you won by 4 points, but it was known for Marcus Smart shoving a fan. What was that game like? And did you see the incident up close?
Yeah, so to me, that was like my payback game with Marcus Smart because we lost to him in a state championship. So I was ready to play him again. And that was the first game that Texas Tech has sold out that night in probably 7 or 8 years. And I was up close at that moment. You know, it was the emotions were very high. And to see him do that, it was unbelievable, but it was one of the best games that I've ever seen in the USA.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a really fun, entertaining game. I remember watching that, and I was just shocked when the incident happened. And
yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy, but it was, I mean, emotions were high, so I understand.
And the atmosphere there was incredible, for sure.
Was Tubby Smith your coach in that season?
I believe that was Tubby Smith's first year. Yes, coaching. That was amazing.
I remember you guys won that game, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so did Tubby say anything like after the game, like congratulations on the win, but like let's talk about the incident, or like how did that go?
So to be honest, he came in, you know, we were all happy. And when coach comes in, he's more, you know, serious. Man, he just came in and started dancing. So he didn't even say a word of the incident. He was just happy we won and said, go enjoy tonight with your family. Like, do whatever you want. Just come back to practice on Monday or whatever the next 2 days were. So he was too happy to even worry about it.
So your redshirt junior year, you saw the Red Raiders finish bottom in the Big 12. But your senior year, you made the NCAA tournament. What were the keys to that turnaround?
To me, the keys to the turnaround was Tubby really had great recruits come in. They were sophomores that year. So they came in as freshmen the year before. You know, as a freshman, it's pretty tough, but all those guys were sophomores, and we had two seniors, me and Devontae Williams, which were the leading scorers. So we kind of came together, used the amazing sophomores, and that's when we first became a team and understood that we could actually do this. We could actually win. So that was the difference maker of that season and to put us over that hump and getting back to the NCAA tournament.
Right, absolutely. I know that a lot of coaches have said that year two of like a coaching tenure is always like the hardest year, and that redshirt junior, that was the second year of Tubby Smith, and that like tough second year you typically have.
Right, absolutely. It was really tough, and you know everything is new, so it was, but it found its way around.
So Texas Tech, since you've graduated, has made it to a national championship runner-up a couple years ago, made the Sweet 16, and has made the NCAA tournament a couple times and had an Elite Eight run in 2018 as well. What's it like seeing Texas Tech basketball where it's at now compared to when you graduated in 2016?
Well, where it's at now is, I mean, I believe we're one of the toughest places to play at, with the fans. You know, when any team comes to Lubbock, it's hard to win here. I believe we're on the cusp of being just a high level program, basketball program. We used to be looked at as, you know, not an easy win, but now it's really hard to beat us. And for me personally, just walking into the gym is completely different. There's a whole different practice facility that I'll be going to tomorrow to watch practice, actually. So it's just everything has changed and elevated since I've left, and it's beautiful to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And what do you think about the new college basketball rules with the transfer portal?
I'm not a fan of it. You don't see four-year guys anymore. Every year for especially Texas Tech or any school is a new roster, like 10 new guys usually. Everyone transfers. I don't like the portal, but I think when things get hard, kids transfer out now instead of, you know, sticking it out. Especially, for example, like me, I had multiple coaches and I just tried to stick it out and see what happens, you know, adversity. But I tried to transfer too, so I kind of understand as well.
Just curious, being a Texas Tech basketball player, how did you feel when Kevin McCullough transferred from Texas Tech to Kansas?
That's a great question. It hurt us, to be honest. It hurt him, Terrence Shannon, man. Well, we understood Terrence Shannon, obviously, because he went to Big Ten, so another, you know, another conference. But seeing him come to Kansas, man, it was – and winning, obviously, like, it was tough to see. But that game he came back, I bet he felt some, you know, some emotions for sure.
Yeah, and, watching that game, he got a lot of a lot of FUs, and then Fran Frischel on a broadcast was like, I think they're saying thank you for playing at Texas Tech.
Man, I'm telling you, this place, this arena, when you come back, it's kind of like Chris Beard when he left, went to Texas. Oh, I mean, it was, yeah, that people say whatever they want and get by with it.
Yeah. So me and Steven are both from KC, and obviously Texas Tech legend Patrick Mahomes is our starting quarterback, won two Super Bowls, two MVPs, just a legend in Lubbock. Do you have any stories? Did you have any encounters with Patrick during your time at Texas Tech?
Yeah, so we always, man, my biggest encounter with Pat, I actually have there's a picture of us in the Texas Tech area. We beat, I believe, Oklahoma. They were number two with Buddy Hield. We beat them, and Pat was there. And, man, after we won, we stormed the court. Pat came right up to me. We got a big hug. And there's a picture of the hug, and it was in the AD's office at one point. So, he's always been a household name. I've always been around him. Baker, Mayfield, Davis Webb, like all these guys – quarterbacks in the NFL, which I went to school with. It's kind of crazy to think about, but it's really special.
Yeah, absolutely. So during your career at Texas Tech, what were your favorite venues you got to play in?
My favorite venue, Iowa State was number one. I believe it's a Hilton or something like that. It's amazing fan base, amazing. You know, they heckle you. They do whatever they want. In my freshman year, I played at Texas A&M as well. They were still in the Big 12. And they had some newspapers about a part of my life that I didn't even know was out. They just find some random stuff. And I was like, man, how do you know that? Those two are my top venues for sure.
Yeah, I thought about West Virginia does something similar as well. Like they have like a, but if some of it is like more fictional.
Right. Yeah, West Virginia is pretty good too. Yeah, they help you for sure.
Yeah, what was it like playing in Fog Allen Fieldhouse?
Man, the fog is legendary. It's a feeling that you know you're in the fog, and it's like a wonder. It's a wonderful feeling just to, you know, warm up. See the fans fill in as the game is coming in. My parents, I told them, I said, listen, my senior year, you have to come to the Fog to watch me play. And it was actually my best game in the Fog. So they can experience like the how the culture is, how college basketball should be.
Awesome. Any advice to those chasing a dream?
Yeah, man. My biggest advice is you just have to strive for greatness, because, I mean, a lot of guys, you have to find that difference that, like, I'm not the most athletic. I can't shoot the best. I can't, you know, I'm not the best athlete in the world, but I'm playing professional because I found that niche that makes me special, that makes me stand out. And you have to be smart and have high IQ at this level. So everyone can jump. Everyone can, you know, do anything like that in life, not just basketball. So just strive and be great at that one thing, and you'll go a long way.
Awesome. Love that.
Yes, sir.
So, Todrick, when you were mentioning about your game that you played against Texas A&M, and then as well when you were playing at Iowa State, it got me thinking. We also mentioned Buddy Hield. It can be guys that played in the Big 12, or it can be guys that didn't play in the Big 12. What do you think were the top five college players you would go up against?
For me, Buddy Hield's number one, obviously. He was averaging 30 at the time, or like unbelievable numbers. Number two, Joel Embiid. When he was at Kansas, he was very raw, but you can tell he was going to be special. Number three, I will go with – I wasn't a big Andrew Wiggins fan at the time. Like, obviously, I'm competing against him, but I didn't think he was number three. So I go with Frank Mason. Frank Mason, I thought, was a lot more complete college player. Devontae Graham, guys like that. My fifth would probably be – I mean, Sheldon McClellan was – amazing too, and you have to throw Marcus Smart in there. So there's so many guys to choose from in the Big 12. Every night was a battle. Georges Niang, like, you know, just guys that I don't know if you guys remember, but there was one of the best players I've ever played was Royce O'Neal. That was the best player I've ever played, actually. Went to Iowa State and he dominated every game I played against him. So he's my best for sure.
Yeah, you mentioned every night was a battle. Do you think the Big 12, I mean, a lot of people, especially this past season, was saying the Big 12 was one of the most toughest and deepest conferences. Do you think the Big 12, I guess, was tougher when you played, or was it kind of tougher now? I know the conference is starting to change now with the new teams.
I would say – so during my college career, it was always the Big East, Big 12. It was out of those two, there was there was nothing else you can say. So I would give a slight edge to the Big East at that time, but the Big 12, there was no easy game. I mean, the last place team can beat you just like the first place team. So it was a dogfight every game. But this year, it's like, you know, Texas Tech, it may be Kansas State when Kansas State was bad. So it kind of, I say my years were harder.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah. One last question before we let you go. As a Texas Tech grad, what's your thoughts on the Texas Longhorns?
My thoughts on the Texas Longhorns. Let me tread lightly. So, I mean, Texas Longhorns, they're the ultimate goal for every team, really. They have their own TV channel. It's a high-level profile and high-level club. But I honestly wish that Texas gets back to that national football, basketball, you know, track, get back to that high level to make the conference or the Big 12 go higher, too. So the Big 12 needs Texas to – you know, perform so that everyone else can kind of, they set the tone. They're the tone setters, I believe. So that Texas is a good university.
I thought you were going to come in and say you had some big old hatred for the Longhorns, but.
I have to tread lightly, man. You never know what happens, but Texas is, I respect them. I mean, they get all my respect for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, for any of the Texas Tech fans that watch you play, or just college basketball fans that watch you play just in the Big 12 and just in general your time, you know, I guess what would you want to say to them, and just about, you know, your time in college, and then, you know, so far about your success so far overseas?
I have to give Texas Tech all the credit in the world for just believing in me as one and sticking with me, because we had bad teams. I mean, while I was there, we had bad teams. We finished on a high note, but I just have to give the fans, the loyal fans, I have to thank them, because it showed in the TBT as well. The same love that they showed me in college is still there as a professional today. So I love them, and I can't do nothing but thank them for the life that they helped me get. So I appreciate them.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Todrick, hey, Sam and I appreciate you sharing, you know, a little bit about your Texas Tech story and a lot about your time overseas. That was a really good segment that you provided.
Yes, sir, man. I appreciate you guys having me, man. I really enjoy it.
And thank you, Todrick, for coming on.
Yes, sir. Are both of y'all living in Kansas City?
Yeah. Yep.
Right now? Oh, well, man. Tell Patrick Mahomes what's up for me at one game, man.
All right.
All right. All right. Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate you having me.
For those who are listening to our show for the first time, all our past and future episodes are available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Also, make sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter @TheSportsMecca.